How are you doing?
Good.
I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to help discuss social media management and just being able to pick it apart as something that you do on a daily basis.
Okay, so I'm just going to let you take over and do it. So today what are we doing today?
Today we are talking about some social media management skills, essentially from the very start. So I want to focus on securing a client, essentially what you would do with that client.
Yep.
And I want to go over possible scenarios because it's so vast, and obviously part of your job is being able to tailor and find out their specific needs and implementing that in order for them to grow.
Okay. So what's the first scenario? What are you thinking?
Boom bada boom. So I would like to know what your social media management offer would be for a new and starting business, how that would be different to an already established brand.
Oh, okay. Business. So a new startup startup in particular, or just doesn't matter, just or anything that's new.
Maybe a niche boutique.
Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay. So the first thing that they need is probably exposure. Everybody needs to know who they are and where they at, right? Mm-hmm. So ads probably comes to mind. Just in general, just a little blurb. And this is the thing I think is going to be a little hard for, I think, business owners to get. Because we're not talking about instantaneous sales, we're talking about brand awareness. So we need to actually get the exposure to show them we're here, this is what we offer. And I think TikTok, in terms of come with me to look at this really, really great, candle shop. Mm-hmm. And then they go in and they show it and stuff like that. So it's kind of warming up the audience and what your offering is. So I guess it depends. We could be very specific with if it's a brand or it's a retail establishment, we need to be in there. We need to find out.
Yeah.
We need to know about anything that you have. You're carrying these reader glasses because you're young and you can't read or anything or print. You know, what are the features and benefits of these? You know, these are from Australia. They're sustainable resin and all the rest of it. I found the cutest ones at this particular location, stuff like that. So it's about inviting us to shop with you in real time. And those are always cool, right?
Yeah.
When you see people go in there and going, hey, come with me and we're going to shop for the ultimate, capsule wardrobe or whatever it is that we're all seeing on trend right now at the moment.
Mm-hmm. It's interactive because the flip side to that is for example, so I have my own little fashion business, right? And when you first said that, I was okay, I wouldn't see myself doing that, but then I could see maybe getting a friend to do something like that, collaborating with my handle and then having that on my page. Because I feel like sometimes, this is just me personally, I'm not saying this for everybody, but I'm oh my God, why is she shopping at her own store? Even though I do, but I feel there's also kind of that shyness of, I don't want it to seem like it's a pitch.
That's the difference between here and America. So if you were an American business owner, you'd be come with me, shop in my own store. Duh. And then over here, we're not really salesy at all, right? So yeah. But you can absolutely say, hey, listen, come with me in my store. I want to tell you what I just bought and I'm really excited about, and this is what I'm really excited to bring to you. And then you talk about the quality. This is really hard to find and I got it for us.
Oh my gosh, yes.
It's almost you're bringing people in.
Or even a styling type of this is a piece from the shop and this is how you can style it with everyday pieces and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah. And I love stuff like that. I love stuff that is so unique that you can bring it to the very basic pieces that you already have in your closet and that you can really...
Absolutely. Now okay. Cool. So for the Kiwis, it's not a sales pitch that you're doing.
No.
Features and benefits. There you go. And it doesn't have to be you because we'd be getting shy. See, I'm blushing thinking about it right now, girl.
Really? Okay, me, it might be because I came from retail, so I was selling clothing and stuff like that since I was 17. So for me, just to go, hey, I have a pitch in my head, have a look, just let you know these things are featured today because of this, whether they're on sale or not, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And if you want me to start a dressing room for you, that's, let me know.
Wow.
And so that's the natural sort of iteration. And then based on what they pull, you go, oh, she hasn't seen these pieces. I'm going kind of bring them. Yes. Listen, I also put a couple other pieces in your closet, mm-hmm. Or your dressing room. So if you wanted to mix it up or see how they work with the other pieces, you can.
Gotcha.
So it's just, you know, and that is what selling on social media is really about.
That's so true.
It's not even about like, oh, here's a link, buy it now. It's about experience it.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Okay, so like, that we know for a starting brand. Now, how about an established brand already? Somebody that's already got chain stores and now they're like, okay, well, I want to look into a social media manager, but what do I really need it for since I'm already popping?
Right. So this is the challenge with a larger company or a larger chain. They sometimes lose their boutiqueness, their authenticity, we're producing for the masses, they're going to come in anyway, mm-hmm. so there's no connectivity. Mm-hmm. Could you imagine if you just went ahead and you grabbed that engagement of just a few people? Now, we have local influencers here, and say what you want to say about it, but if you're watching somebody that is successfully showing off, I don't know, food, clothing, retail, anything that they go into. There's even people here that are going into, go come with me to this op shop and let's shop and see what they have. And this is mm-hmm. the best one in Oakland and all of that rest of it.
Absolutely.
That's where they're thriving and maybe your big, huge brand is not.
Mm-hmm.
So if somebody were to go in there and actually shop your floor, how is it? This is really courageous for the larger brands, because sometimes even when you have somebody come in and shop your floor, it might be a total miss. Like, oh God, the merchandising's awful.
Mm-hmm.
I can't find anything. Or what a lot of the larger brands do is they stuff the rack so you can't even get in. So they're all stuffed because everything's on sale, mm-hmm. and it's just, so you're not able to look at it. The way that people shop in retail in particular is they look at the mannequin and they go, okay, I want that.
Yeah.
So how do you do that, and how do you use a TikToker, an Instagrammer, somebody that is your ideal client? Maybe it's a mother that's 35 years old and she needs to go in and she needs to buy a few pieces for this upcoming summer,
mm-hmm.
and she needs to refresh her look.
Yeah.
Where is she going? How is she doing? How is your brand? And I really, So PR is so archaic that there's nobody in there that's actually going, you know what, we haven't, a part of our PR team is an influencer mm-hmm. marketing manager, so that those influencers are interacting with that person and coming in. Let's invite them in. Let's it's just the hospitality bit, like make sure that they're taken care of. Do they have water? Did they eat yet? Did they, you know, what can we do to make them happy? Can we carry their bags? Mm-hmm. Can we give them experience in the corner of this danky old retail shop that has been here since 1920, and just recreate it for them so they can try it on, they can film. Like, what are you doing to get their ring light for them? What are you doing?
So true. That's so interesting that you mentioned PR, because one of the things that I actually really wanted to ask was, do you feel like social media management is very similar to PR? Like, if you had to choose, would you rather have a social media manager or would you have a PR?
Okay, for New Zealand in particular, there has to be, they kind of need to be one and the same, and this is going to hurt, but people that think that they have established PR firms,
mm-hmm.
they need to get their own social media manager, because they need to learn. They need to learn on how the new marketplace is set and how the new communication is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there are people that are my age or even younger that do not want to go, well, that doesn't, you know, I've been in this business for 20 years.
Yeah.
And we've never had to do it. But girl, it's 2023. Our whole future is based on this huge new methodology of social media.
Mm-hmm.
That's how we get everything together, and this is how we're going to expand the brand.
Yeah.
And if you don't get wrapped around it, I mean, 2023, you're already left behind, let's just say it.
Like, there are new apps popping up every single day.
Yeah.
Every single day.
But you know what? You do you, and you keep on, you know, mailing those circulars with the coupon. If you're, and that's status quo, right?
Shots fired.
That is status quo. So how are you, and this is what Anna Wintour, not that I'm a huge fan, but this is what Anna Wintour has done with the Vogue brand, is that she's known that people are not always going to buy the paper subscription. Mm-hmm. The younger crowd are looking for the digital magazine,
exactly.
Right? So she's been appealing for the last almost 10 years to the next generation under, to millennials, and now she's left them behind. She's starting to appeal to, like, Gen Z.
Yeah, no, because you have to move forward.
Fresh.
Yeah, you have to move forward.
Because that's the newsworthy, the newsmakers, people that are going to be doing it are always going to be younger. But the money lies in the older, mm-hmm. right? So how do you blend those two together?
Right.
Social media.
So true, because everyone's on social media.
Yeah.
If it's Facebook, if it's not Facebook, it's TikTok or Instagram.
Right.
That's so cool. Okay, so essentially, new and starting business, exposure, established business, it would be engagement. Now, how about a nonprofit organization? I mean,
So they really have to talk about why they're doing what they're doing, and mm-hmm. keep talking about that almost in every other video. This is why we're doing it. Explanation: why are we doing this? Why are we doing a food bank every, you know? Thinking of Angel Food Project in Los Angeles, where people only once a year during Thanksgiving go in, celebrities alike will go in and they'll make food for people that are, you know, disenfranchised and homeless, mm-hmm. right? Or people that are just have that food poverty stuff, right? That's going on. No, we did it for 1 year during Christmas.
Like
this
once.
Is great.
Yeah. So how do you keep that social media like active and going throughout the year up until that one day?
It would be about you sharing some of the stories that of the houses that you have changed. The households that have changed. You know, like you know, today we're going to talk to you about, and you don't have to expose them. Well, please don't expose the people that need the help.
But Instagrammers.
Instagrammers. Don't go to wherever, you know, in Guatemala and then go, oh yeah, we helped this family. Look,
the
they're smiling.
Uh-uh.
Don't do any of that. So that's the big no.
The fact that you literally have to say that, like,
there are people that need to actually, we need to just do black and white as much as possible.
Oh, Lord.
But what you would do is you would talk about this, you know, small family that are starting over. And this is a story about, you know, courage. This is a story about, mm-hmm. you know, poverty. This is a story about starting all over again. Let me tell you about this little family.
Yeah.
And this courageous movement from a woman that left an abusive household mm-hmm. with her son.
Yeah.
And now this is what they started off with. The first thing that we had them do is A.
Yeah.
You know, getting them housing and food. This is exactly what we needed to do. The next step is this. And now, and even coming back to that story. So, like, this is, you know, we're profiling a particular family, and you can actually make imagery where you're showing people from the neck down to show this story. So you're grabbing photos or images or even stock footage of showing people a young mother or a kid in the
mm-hmm.
back of their head.
Back of the head shots,
and then start
yeah.
talking about this is why we need funding. So we've talked about Maria. She's actually in 30-day mark of her courageous effort to leave an abusive household and starting her new life.
Beautiful.
She is starting to recreate and relook at her career steps and what she wants to do. So we've asked the good people at Dresser Success to help her with her interview process.
Oh my
and
gosh,
this is what we're doing.
Yes.
Let's see the storyline, the arc. She's the hero. Mm. She's why we're doing all of this, right? So we're showing that whole entire arc of why we're doing it now. And then also, too, because these particular organizations, they need money, right? They need money.
They do, they
why?
Do.
Why? But we don't open our wallets until we hear the why. Because all of us, even if we're close to that, and this is me, and it's from my background. I'm not making excuses from it. Because I am so close to that, I don't want to hear it. But if I hear the story, I know this is awful. But that's me being protecting. That's me being protecting myself.
Of course, 100%.
I see all of that. Now, but if you told me we're rooting for her, this is why Kiva. Do you know who Kiva is?
Is it American?
Kiva is a funding company that goes all over the world for entrepreneurs, and you can hit like, okay, I wanna only see female entrepreneurs in this
Kiva.
Part of the world. Yeah, Kiva,
okay.
Kiva, and I have an account there. I get maybe since 2010 or something like that.
Oh,
but
wow.
I, you know, every once in a while you
that is so cool.
you throw money in, or they're trying to raise money. But the thing is that what they do right is they tell the story arc of what they're, how, why do they need the money,
mm-hmm.
what they did with the money, and this is a success. By the way, they're paying you back in the loan the entire time. So it encourages, so it encourages you to lend again. So if we know why, including me, who's a, you know, a tough girl that doesn't want to have hear any stories about poverty, but if I hear the story and what they're doing, I will likely put in money if I know why we're doing what we're doing.
Of course, and if it's also on like such a reputable platform like that, it's good to know that not-for-profits can like also partner up or something like that. Like, because when you first said it, I was like, okay, kind of it's giving me GoFundMe vibes. But the simple fact that it's actually tailored, it's not just a whole bunch of people from the internet saying this and saying that. Like, it's something that you're confident to...
It's better than GoFundMe because you hear a story, you go ahead and you kick money through.
Mm.
But are you going to continue the journey?
That is so true.
You know what I
mean? That is so true. It's like, that kind of reminds me of like a cup of coffee will help this child. And it's like, how long is it going to help the child for? Because I drink a lot of coffee, but I don't think that anybody graduating from our coffees.
Right. Right. So how do you continually do that is that you actually got to go with that story arc. And then... quite frankly, at the end of this, if they're a success story, the likelihood that that person that was helped along the way will maybe grace us with their face and their comments of like, hey, I'm Maria. Actually, my name is da 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 da.
Awesome ambassador stuff too.
Yeah, and this is my story, and this is exactly what, this is how you can help women just like myself.
Oh my goodness, yes.
You know what I mean? And the chances of them wanting, because a lot of the times when you put through a program that really help you from the ground up, you want to contribute in some way. It's not even a hard ask.
You're invested.
You're invested, and you want to help other people just like you.
Beautiful. I love that. Whoever new social media manager is so empathetic.
We need social media managers because there might be non-for-profits that didn't even know this process could actually happen.
Exactly.
So it is a different standpoint of strategy, and it's far less expensive than anything that a PR company that's going to ask you, oh, let's run commercials, let's put some ads. Why? You're still not ticking off, why am I giving money? Why am I supporting this cause? You're still not ticking that box.
Yeah, which is where, like you said, a social media manager would be able to like walk you through all those steps and show you exactly how it's helping and like benefiting.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I would also... I feel like we've used examples as of right now, but let's go back to that example of a small boutique.
Okay.
So what I essentially want to do is, like, if you could just walk me through securing that client and then tailoring their needs. I know we kind of, like, talked about it just before, but let's say you were talking about that store with the white dish rack.
Oh, yeah.
So securing them and then figuring out exactly, okay, this is exactly what you're going to need from the social management perspective.
Okay, and just to give you a little bit of background, the white thing is I want this dishwashing... Wait, dish rack. So you put all your dishes. I do need it. It's all white. It has wooden handles. It's $200. Put this thing. I know.
I didn't tell you
I was on wait list.
Hold up. There's a wait list for a $200 dish rack?
Girl, if
you're... So enough people... Okay.
Yeah. So Desperate Housewives are on this wait list, just like myself. And I want this dish rack. But the thing is about that whole thing, securing means that you acquire this new client. Is that right? Is it for retail?
I'm still laughing and broke. What? It's okay. I'll think about this later on tonight.
These are forever pieces. These pieces are forever. Right now I have a 99-cent store dish rack, and I'm not kidding. It's cute.
Mm.
But that I have to scrub the mold off of it all the time.
Okay.
I want something that's one and done, and I'm 70 years old and I still have this thing on my counter. You know what I mean? On my counter. Honestly, that's where I'm headed, okay?
No,
I'm always thinking of stuff like that. Like, this, we're done. Mm-hmm. We're done. And I'm also very conscientious about buying another plastic thing to throw away.
It's for the earth.
I don't want... Well, say what you want to say, but my generation needs to stop with this.
Whoa!
We need to stop with buying plastic stuff and throwing it away.
You.
My generation needs it.
Okay, well, boomer.
And today was the last day that we saw Lola after she called me boomer. But no. Okay, so let me bring it back. So let's go all the way back.
All the way back.
Secure means we acquired the clients?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. You get them to sign on the dotted line that yes, I absolutely need a social media manager, even though I've got a wait list for her $200 dish rack.
Even though, okay. So we have that. So the next step is we're creating a strategy for them? Is that mm-hmm. what we're doing?
Yeah,
okay.
Boom.
Okay, so what we would do is we would bring them in and we would ask them, and this is the hard thing. So in New Zealand, they don't have sales goals. If you ask them, hey, what were the takings in for your last month and this quarter, and how far are you reaching your goal? So in my retail mind, it's like you look at your last year figures and then you add 10% of your last year figures for you to actually turn a successful profit and showing on paper that you are a successful business.
Mm.
I've yet to find a business that does that here. That might be an American thing. It might be different in a corporate environment.
Yeah.
I have not seen it, even in medium-sized businesses, with that. So my whole thing is it's part business coaching and part sales planning, and we do all of that with social media so that we could hit targets and KPIs. Because a lot of the time what we'll do is we'll get these KPIs thrown to us, like, oh, well, we're hoping, listen, if we're going to spend this much money, then we're hoping at the very least that we have intake sales of that.
Yeah.
So my answer to that before, this is kind of an aggressive pushback. It's like, so do you do that same thing when you see yourself on a billboard? Do you say the same thing when your advertisement in the magazine or
exactly.
you have a, you know, a lot of the not pay-per-view, but the things that the pay-on-demand stuff
mm-hmm.
or I can't, like if you're on TV One
right.
or you're on 3 Now and you pause something and they have a placard and they show you an advertisement.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you say, if you're that placard, do you say like, well, how many sales did this bring? It's all about just brand exposure. That's all we can do. Unless we're directly going to run a funnel for ads or a sales push,
mm-hmm.
which never work in New Zealand anyway.
Right.
So it's about getting clarity and knowing exactly what you're going in. After you decide what the goals are,
mm-hmm.
when you're doing the strategy and what they really, really want to reach,
yeah.
then you can sort of creatively do that. And it really is about A and B split testing, which means we're going to run a series of this type of post, and then B, we're gonna run something, you know, a different type of post. And usually that's you and me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you might be the A that's going, oh, okay, I think we should do it this way.
Yeah.
I've seen it be really, and you bring a lot of cool strategies to the table because you know what works in your sector, and I know what works in my sector or my perspective, right? We both throw those two sides to it, and then we see what floats well and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go with the stuff that floats well.
Yeah.
I know that's really a simplification of how we do it, but it does require commitment from the business owner or
Research.
The business.
Research on our end.
Research on our, well, yeah, that's fine. That's all good. But what the commitment is being consistent and keeping meetings, contributing and quickly contributing and approving content so that we can go on to the next. I think that's our biggest thing is like we have a lot of tire kickers sometimes, especially in the beginning, which I get because it's hard to let go of something and hope that it's going to happen, but we need to actually encourage it and go to the next step.
Of
course. Yeah, so I think that's the first basic steps. So and we can help you do that here at this very table.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah.
Because like you secure them, you meet with them.
Yeah.
Like it's like, what do you want? What are your goals? And then essentially it's kind of just, and how, what would you say, how soon would you, okay, boom. Your dish rack arrived. You pick it up and she says, actually, I need a social media manager right now. Would you see yourself, is it realistic that you would start next week, or do you feel like that process is a bit more longer in order to actually be able to define exactly what it is they need?
There is a discovery week, and sometimes that discovery week will last a little longer depending on the client.
Mm.
So we recently had a client that we thought a discovery week was going to be a week, and it turned out that it was 4 to 6 weeks.
Right.
And we try to bring in that person and have them focus, but there's we can only control what we can control.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the biggest piece too, is that when you're coming in and you're really looking for somebody that's going to handle your social media, the biggest question to ask above all else, and an honest one, is, are you coachable? Are you able to take on recommendations and run with it and see what happens?
Mm-hmm.
And for some people, and I'm not always talking really badly of type A, because you and I know that I'm a type A person, and that there you go. But but if I just kept in my type A and just said, okay, I know it works, and it's not going to work, then I'm limiting myself from further success that I don't even know exists yet.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the important part.
Okay. I like that. I truly do like that a lot. Speaking of clients, right? Like, I feel like as a social media manager, I think one of the things that I was like, whoa, this is really cool, when I first started working with you, was seeing how you were able to flip and remix things that I honestly would, I probably wouldn't even think about if they weren't necessities of life, but like, you know, like tax numbers, all those type of stuff. And it's like, they have social media. Like, so it's like, for that, like how, what, I don't want to say what's the process, but how easy is it? No, not even how easy, because we know it's not easy. If it was easy, everybody would be doing it, and you're not. So, like, how do you, finding generic posts and actually making it identifiable for the people that are receiving that information?
Ah, okay, so if it's a difficult service, and okay, and like, because that's always a tricky one. It's like, okay, we provide a service that's in finance, so how do we go ahead and explore why we would even be on social media? So we take the, I don't know, the stress, the anguish, whatever it is that has to do with numbers, we have experts that actually can come over here and take it on for you so that you don't have to have a major anxiety attack.
Yeah.
So we can actually take care of that for you. And it's always this the basic method is on any social media is that you talk about the problem, right? Mm. We do your U.S. taxes while living abroad so it's always a so that you don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
You don't have to be worried about double taxation.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be worried about, what's the other one, being compliant while living abroad. So all of these things that really, like, for me, even as an expat American, like, I'm still obligated to pay U.S. taxes.
Mm.
Luckily, we have somebody that can do it for us or understand the laws while I'm living here and being an American. So it's just repeating and telling that story over and over.
Do you feel like you being able to relate to it makes it easier?
Yes and no, because there are clients that we have that I don't necessarily use their services.
Mm-hmm.
However, I know what the pain points are so that I would employ those services or grab those services. Does that make sense?
It does.
So even something like we have an IT client, right? We're at a place called the Generator here, and the Generator is like a shared co-working space. So we don't have to worry about IT. We don't have to worry about our setup and our internet, stuff like that. But if we were to go and we would get our own office, then we would be like, and then I got to set these kids up with everybody's got to get a phone. And our internet needs to be like 100% all the time, and the whole deal. So then I now have a problem that I can employ an IT solutions company to help with. So but we still understand the pain points. So it could be anything. I also like doing the medical profession. Plastic surgeons are amazing because that's a story of transformation.
Yes.
I love transformation
stories. I feel like it's also low-key because you're a plastic surgeon for social media.
Girl, snip and tuck. Snip and tuck.
This next part, current affairs. Okay, from a social media manager perspective.
Oh my God. I know who you're gonna talk about. Jada Pinkett.
Jada Pinkett Smith.
Do you know, I saw, okay, because I've been sending you like videos, TikTok videos about this, right? So this morning I saw somebody that had said, She Will Not Let Tupac Rest in Peace. And I went, oh my goodness. Okay, so give us the background a little bit about what we're talking about. If you haven't heard it, because you're on Instagram, not on TikTok.
Right.
If you haven't heard it, it's because you're slowly finding out now. Meanwhile, people on TikTok known about it 3 or 4 days ago.
TikTok is, I feel like it's, as soon as something happens, it's happening on TikTok.
Like, immediately.
And it filters through, like, Instagram Reels, because I feel like TikTok was probably that first platform that actually did those kind of, like, clips. And then Instagram hopped on, Snapchat hopped on, they all hopped on.
Tell me how I'm only seeing repeats of what actually is on TikTok, like, a week after. Can I just tell you how funny it is? My husband's on TikTok, too, so it's not everybody who's older. But it's just... It makes me laugh. Like, I was somewhere and I can't even say who it is because I don't want to embarrass them. But somebody said, like, oh my God, did you know about Taylor Swift and whoever that football player is?
The guy with the mustache.
And I was like, yeah, like 2 weeks ago. I just found out on Instagram, like today. I'm like, yeah, that tracks. 2 weeks ago.
That is another current affair topic because that man needs to be studied. As a person of color, I know about code switching. Okay, that mustache popped out of nowhere, and it suits exactly where he is in life right now. So I'm not mad at him. I do it all the time. I code switch. I mean, unless you work here, because.
No, we really do have a lot of fun here.
I feel like you've seen like at least 5 of my personalities, which is great, which is awesome.
All of mine will not stay in, so it's okay. It's good. It's all good.
Speaking of personalities. Okay, as a social media manager, let's say, and this is why I feel like PR and social media management like ties hand in hand.
They do.
Let's say you have the unfortunate job of handling Jada's social media.
Is anybody handling Jada's stuff?
That's what I don't know. Jada, girl, we're in New Zealand, we're remote, we can help you out.
I don't think anybody is helping her.
Because what would you do? Like, you log in and everything's blowing up and it's because Tupac, 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 Will Smith, Will Smith. What are you doing?
What's the first thing you're doing? She has a book coming out, I didn't know.
That was what the interview was about.
Okay, see, I didn't know that part. So she's already given us... the craft that's around it.
She got interviewed regarding her book that's coming out, and that's how we know all these little snippets. I'm definitely getting that book because I would like to know if the snippets are already causing chaos. And can I just say it's undue chaos because we never asked for it?
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So let's pretend that you were her social media management.
This is what I'm thinking. I think she might have a PR person or an agent that she's conferring with. She is not conferring with anybody that is strategic in social media or PR, like a real PR person. I don't think she is. What she is interested in is selling the book. And if the TikTok I sent you about
Margo,
mm-hmm. that Will Smith has been having this year-long affair since the last movie that they did, and this is why she's kicking off.
Mm-hmm.
What?
A woman scorned.
A woman scorned, which I'm... now she redeemed herself.
I know, because if that's the situation, girl, I'm helping you with all them interviews. Heck, I'm tweeting with you.
I was mad at her. Now you made me think of her liking her a little bit.
Well, yeah.
But if she had
If
that's a situation.
Because we have to remember she had her own entanglement that she made public to the world and everything.
So
that was part of Get Back, that well done.
I still have problems with her going after her son's friends because any child of yours should feel comfortable in bringing in a friend to the house.
Mm-hmm.
You're not meeting that safety, that secureness, if you're going after their friends
exactly
as a sexual partner.
Oh yeah, and it makes your job as a social media manager hard as well, because now
she doesn't have a social media manager. You keep going,
okay. I keep putting you in the hypothetical situation.
I would get fired within a week because I would tell her the truth, and the truth is that you have to think of this from the perspective of how people are going to consume this information, right? So what happened in the only 3 days, actually 24 hours of all of this news being released, what happened on TikTok? What was the sentiment? The sentiment was like, we don't want to hear anything about it.
Because it's just being shoved. It's being, and that's why I totally believe you. Like, I don't think she has a social media
person.
She can't, because they would have at least like, limited at the very least, like what you're out here saying. Don't tell us all the tea of the book, give me something to actually read, unless there's more in that book.
She has the same PR person as the Jonas brother. Yeah, go ahead, get divorced, here, you do these things. Yeah, blame her for her not watching the children, like, you know, like that kind of like old school mentality that's not landing, that doesn't even see that TikTok is a real sentiment
institution
changer
type stuff, right?
Yeah, because you know the sentiment of TikTok, all of a sudden they're talking about the same sentiment in their extensive research on The View. Come on. Like, okay, 50 old women no one understanding.
Might as well do it on the Red Table.
That damn Red Table. Do you understand? And we were talking about this as a joke the other day about imagine being one of Jada's kids are financially tied to your mother and like, you know, oh yeah, hurry up and have breakfast. I'm gonna see you at the Red Table at 11. We gotta shoot. Hurry up. I already told you this.
Oh, Lord.
Could you imagine that pressure in living in that house?
I don't even
Mom,
want to.
I don't see you here. Red Table's happening in 15 minutes. Where are you? Oh, you have to perform in that family.
And taking, like, you can't even take a stand, because that was the thing. It was like a Facebook show, wasn't it? So it was essentially, and that's the thing.
That's how it started.
It's all going to stay on the internet forever. Forever.
Yes. Yeah, you can scrub and take off your platform and everything like that, but we can actually pull it up and it's a lot of these things, especially the more salacious they are, they will be downloaded and repurposed.
Oh, yes.
All the time.
100%. 100%. And it's like, how does one even... Okay, here we go again, hypothetical. Boom, this has all happened, right? She's like, Francesca, I saw your podcast, girl. It looks like I need you. You pull up. How would you repurpose all this negativity and bad press to...
I would have her do a
not an apology video, girl.
No. Okay. I would almost like a... Okay. Kind of like an... I'm trying not to say Oprah. More like a Gayle King sort of like interview. Like, so tell me about what was going on in your head when you actually said this. Mm. Tell me about... And then repurposing the content that she already put out there.
Yeah, yeah.
And then go, tell me what was actually going behind your mind while you were saying this. What was your intention when you brought up, Tupac? Why is it now, after all these years, that we have to hear that you're actually not married to him and that you were separated? Like the hard questions so that she can actually talk about them. Because she has just been flipping stuff off that is so random and so hurtful that we don't even see who she is. We just see a mean-spirited woman. Again, but if Margot Robbie was involved, we might say, okay.
Listen. I'm a girl's girl. I'm trying to fight.
Like, already, I don't see any fault in that. I'm like, yeah, she exploded. And?
Yeah.
And? Because this is the position you put her in. But we don't know.
Yeah. We don't know context. She leaves such key.
We don't know context.
Would you?
Really interesting.
Okay. Come to find out that Margot was actually involved, would you, as a social media manager, do maybe like a cheeky little campaign in which the public might be able to see that, and then now kind of realize that, you know what, there actually is a story behind why she kept on opening her mouth?
Well, I think I would address it very politically, where you don't mention the person on purpose. Mm. So then we're like, oh, we all know what she's talking about. Now it makes sense.
Because,
you know, if you come on and say, listen, I was been feeling pressured and had this weighing on me for over 10 years.
Yeah.
And maybe I didn't act in the correct way. But would I do it again, knowing who I am? You know, I told you the other day, like, about my husband and a tattoo that I didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's like, oh, I told you. And I'm like,
oh, wait, no. You didn't tell me this.
No, I did. I did. Remember, it was like, my husband has a, I'm going to get in trouble. He has a cover-up tattoo from his first wife. And he said, oh, no, I told you. And I said, did you tell me while I was Latina? I don't recall this ever. So that's how I would just advise Jada. Like, you know, I've reacted the way I acted while I was, and then say, while I was a mother, while I supported his career, while I went ahead and made peace with the first wife so we could have a cohesive family. I made all of these things happen.
Yeah, so true.
You know, and this is what cause and effect is all about. And if you don't think that I'm going to make any errors, you're wrong, because every woman that has been in this situation has made an error.
Relatable.
Yes. And you win everybody back.
And that, folks, is how you do it. Girl, that is so true.
Yes. Just we would all be on her side. What do you mean? And tell me about the eye roll on when you were at the Oscars. Tell me more about that. What happened? Well, it was off the heels of somebody asking me out.
Yeah, and see, that's the thing. Like, it's amazing how you can say so much but not say anything as well.
Yes, and that is where I think you get the power, is when you don't name drop. You don't say Margot Robbie. You don't say Chris Rock. You say, well, you know, yeah. Just like, I've allude to that person.
The public will TikTok will figure it out.
TikTok's amazing.
TikTok will figure it out super fast. I feel like if the whole... Did you ever see Tiger King? The Netflix thing?
I couldn't. The hair stopped me.
Why?
The hair stopped me. I couldn't see. They are not my people. Are you kidding me?
They're from America.
They might be from America, but they're still not my people. Girl. I have to look at... No.
We need to... Okay, please watch it.
No.
It's actually really funny. It's hilarious.
I'm sure it is, and I'm sure there's a reason for it, but I don't want to waste my time.
Girl, no, but I honestly feel like I grew up with social media. All we had was Bebo and MySpace.
Yeah, you did.
Bebo and MySpace. Yeah, that don't count.
No. You did grow up. I know how old you are, and I know how long social media has been. So, yes, you did grow up.
I don't realize the amount of layers that there are with social media and why even... I mean, unless it's, like, private, even if it's a... I feel like everybody... can benefit from a bit of social media management in their lives.
Yeah.
I feel like it's just a lot more important for public figures and businesses and stuff like that, because you're literally trying to grow this. And it is business. It's part of business now.
It should be a part of the business acumen. I was complaining to you, like, when I was in high school, I had a sewing class and I had a cooking class, and they should have had a women in finance class. Mm-hmm. To show you how to manage money and save money and plan for the future. The other bit is, they should have a social media class, like what to do, what not to do.
Yeah.
What does a long-term footprint look like? How is that going to work against you if you ever go to a top school that actually, you know, the interview process you have to actually go with? And then what happens if you do something silly, you have it filmed, and you try to reach your dream job, that footprint follows you.
We
need that education. There's no educational sort of platform that we're doing right now for kids. However, this next generation is so smart. They are doing things where they're doing it in private.
Mm-hmm.
They are not on regular social media per se. The smart ones that know how to leverage are on TikTok.
Yeah.
The ones that are quiet are on private Instagram. So the younger generation's way smarter than anyone previous.
It's so important. And I mean, like, in saying that as well, like, it's not by age that you can implement and actually learn and benefit from social media.
Right.
Which is why you need an awesome brand like Social Global Grind. Grinding for you. Honestly, because that's essentially what we do. Like, that's literally, that's the very heart of it all. Is that it doesn't matter what industry you're in. Gosh, you've definitely taught me that.
It doesn't matter what industry you're in. You just have to be open to the process, and we make it easy. Mm. I mean, we really are interested in hearing what the journey is. What's the customer journey like?
Yeah.
Or what is the prospective customer journey? Or what is it that you want to attract? And it really is an attraction mechanism. The more that you share your story, the more people are drawn to you.
Amen and amen. Thank you so much, girl. I really, really, really had so much fun shooting this podcast, even though you came at me for my age. And
you called me a boomer. Oh, my. And I'm Francesca with Social Global Grind. I own a company. And I'm very excited to do these podcasts with you, because literally this is how we are at our table. And we're always cracking up and we're always having fun. So,
oh, yeah.
And we also have another person in our team that we'd love to share with you. Her name is Grace. She's amazing. And she's much calmer than us because she's English. She's English.
She's British.
She's very pretty British.
She is, isn't it? I feel like if she was sitting here right now, she would just be looking at us like,
her
tea. I swear, and it's amazing. But okay, last thing. But I think it's amazing how it's different. Like, you've got somebody like Grace who is very British.
Yeah.
Like, in all the positive ways, yeah. ever, right? And then you've got Francesca from America. And I'm just like, hi. You know, it's always, like, a lot going on, but it's so cohesive.
If you have something to say about that, just note where I'm from. Okay, thank you.
I'm gonna call 911.
Oh my god, I can't believe it. Please take that out. That's so stupid. Oh my god.
You know
god.
What? That's gonna be the start.
I'm right in the face because I just embarrassed myself. Oh my god. This is why I don't like this doing this stuff. Like,
this is awesome. This is why you're just gonna chop it. Do you want like a cute little outro?
Like, what do you mean?
I don't know. Tune in for more. See you next time.
See you next time.
Yeah.
Yeah. See you next time.
Yeah. See you next time. Peace.
Oh, so sad. I said you were young and in your 20s. I'm so... Oh. Mm.
You know who else is a boomer?
Who else is a boomer?
Jada.
She is Gen X, and I will let you know that boomers are somebody that's older. Those are my parents.
Oh.
But it's funny, though, because everybody, your age and younger, think that anybody that's older than them is automatically a boomer, which
yeah.
I understand that part, too. Get it correct, though. That's not correct. It's not correct. You gotta come at me. You gotta come at me correct. I just... Oh, my God. I think I just quoted Bethany Frankel.
Skinny girl. Thank you. Okay. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. I am Lola for Social Global Grind.
Yes. And I'm Francesca with Social Global Grind. I own the company. And I'm very excited to do these podcasts with you because literally this is how we are at our table. And we're always cracking up and we're always having fun. So.
Oh, yeah.